Thank you so much. I think what you sang as a true testimony of your own father, many of us would say as a prayer, may it be that more daughters and more sons would see their father that way. So we'll pray to that end. Kids, I'm going to have you stay where you're at, and I'm going to throw out to you a dangerous question before we begin. All right? So where are the kids? Kids, if you would stand up. I'm not going to have you come forward, but go ahead and stand up. And here's my dangerous question. Are you ready? Name one thing your daddy has taught you. I know that's dangerous because it may be he taught you how to chew tobacco. I don't know. So let's see. Something, Naomi, something your dad has taught you. How to drive a pickup? Nice. Wow. Did I get that right? On back roads, not on public roads. That's all right. My dad taught us to drive long before we should have been behind the wheel, and we had a blast. Asia, something dad's taught you, or something maybe grandpa's taught you, either one. How to fix cars. Good. Hey, that's a valuable skill. We have some work for you. All right. Grace, something dad's taught you? How to love God. Great. Praise the Lord. Austin, martial arts. How to karate chop Pastor John. Yeah. Don't teach your kids that. Okay, did I miss anybody? Becca, something dad's taught you. To be strong. Hey, very good. And somebody I'm missing over here, Esther. Go ahead. Whoever it is that I'm missing. All right, Liam. Something daddy's taught you. Love. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. With that, I'll ask you all to open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Because kids, if there's a minute at the end, I'll ask you another question. No, I'll ask you now, as everyone's opening to the book of Malachi. What should we hope that every father would teach their child? Malachi, turn to the last verse of the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6, where we find God making both a promise and a threat to send Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord, and also threatening that he might bring a curse on the land. We're just going to answer one question this morning. I usually have three or four or ten. One question this morning, and our question will be, why? Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And he," speaking of Elijah the prophet, "he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." Now here again, God, through his servant Malachi, promises to send the prophet Elijah in the last days before the day of the Lord, before the day of judgment. And when Elijah comes, we're told here what his mission will be. Notice what it says, "He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers." The word for turn here is a Hebrew word, shub. You can say that, shub. Sounds like shoe, but with a B on the end. Very common in the Old Testament. It was often the word for repentance. It means to turn, or more often, to return a thing to its condition. To restore something. You know, like restoring a car. It was used in the story of Joseph of returning or restoring the money to their sacks. It's used in the Psalms of returning or restoring a man to health. It's also used in Psalm 80 when the psalmist cries out saying, "Restore us, O God. Return us, O God, to you, and cause your face to shine us, and we shall be saved." Here we are told that the prophet Elijah, before the great and terrible day of the Lord, which is coming burning like an oven, according to verse 1 of this chapter, when all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble and will be cut down, God says before he comes in judgment, he will send the prophet Elijah. His mission will be to turn or return, restore the hearts of fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Why? Why would God need to send a prophet whose sole purpose, whose sole mission, whose one message is going to be directed to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children? Why? Well, before we answer it, to understand this, you need to fully understand what children are in the sight of God and what a father is in the sight of God. What are children in the sight of our God? What are they? Children are a, I'll give you a hint, children are a blank from the Lord. Heritage, blessing, if you said gift, all those are valid translations of Psalm 127, verse 3, that says, behold, behold means listen to this, look at this. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Heritage or inheritance. If you look up that Hebrew word, you will find it is almost always translated inheritance. And an inheritance is something precious and valuable that is willed to you by someone else, given to you as a trust for you to care about. Think of the things that people leave in their will. You know, my entire gun collection, my valuable jewelry, the house, the car. Children are described as, because they are a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. They are precious. They are valuable. If you have them, it means that God has willed to you someone precious and valuable in His sight. That's what children are, a gift, a heritage, an inheritance. Therefore, what are fathers? Fathers are not merely men who produce children. Somebody who produces children is not a father in God's eyes. A father is someone who has been entrusted by God with a precious gift, a precious inheritance, and along with that, a very serious responsibility. What is it? What is the responsibility that every father has with his children, daughters or sons? I want you to turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you said it is to sharpen those little arrows, using the word picture from Psalm 127, you would be correct. Psalm 127 says that children are an inheritance from the Lord. And like arrows in the hands of the warrior, they are to be sharpened and then sent out. Every father has a responsibility to sharpen his children, but that is a word picture for teaching them about God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 is Moses giving the law of God to all the parents, but especially directing it to the fathers in the context here. And it says this, "Hear, O Israel, listen up, you people of God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Jesus tells us in Matthew 22, verse 37, this is the one greatest commandment in all the Bible. If you take all the commandments throughout all of Scripture and want to come up with one single greatest one, this is it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Question, how? How do you love God? I mean, practically speaking, how do you show God that you really love Him? Here's how. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." What are children in the eyes of God? They are an inheritance from the Lord, a precious, valuable trust. What are fathers in the sight of God? They are men given by God this trust to raise those children in the Word of God. the one single greatest responsibility every father has in the sight of God is to teach his children the Word of God. And not only that, because we were reminded of this yesterday. I want you to turn, if you're in Deuteronomy 6, turn back to Deuteronomy 4. Not merely is every father to teach them the Word of God, every father is to testify about God. Every father is given the responsibility to tell his children stories about how God has worked in his life. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9. We'll read verse 9 first. Deuteronomy 4, verse 9 says this: "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Notice God just laid a responsibility on grandpa. Every dad and every granddad, every father, every grandfather has a responsibility before God to testify to the children to come about God. What he says, what he teaches, what he's done, his great works, his ways, his words. That is a lifelong responsibility. It begins when your son or daughter is born. It ends when you pass from the scene. Did you catch that? The responsibility, if you are a dad, if you are a grandpa, the responsibility God has given you throughout your life is to teach and to testify about God to your children and your grandchildren. Now turn back to Malachi. Why would God have to send a prophet among his own people? Why would God send a messenger to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers? And why would God bring at the end of the Old Testament this threat? Lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Implied, the hearts of the fathers had better turn or else. Why would God say such a thing? Remember what I said it means to turn? It means to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. So what's the answer? Why would God have to send a prophet to turn their hearts back? Because their hearts have turned away. That's why. The answer to the question why this verse is because the hearts of the fathers have turned away from the children in the last days. That's what he's telling us. Is that before the day of the Lord, before the day of judgment comes, in the last times, the hearts of the fathers will be turned away from the children. They won't be teaching their kids about God. They won't be testifying about his words and his works. You'll have children growing up in homes where dad doesn't teach them about God at all. You say, well, where will the hearts of the fathers be? I mean, if they're not towards their kids, if the hearts of the fathers are not toward the grandkids, where are their hearts going to be? In 2 Timothy 3, we are given the shocking answer. The hearts of the fathers will be turned to themselves and their money and their pleasures. 2 Timothy 3 says, "But know this, that in the last days," when is that? The days that Malachi was just talking about, that we just read about. Those last days before the day of judgment, before God comes to pour out his wrath, in those last days, perilous times will come. Why? Because men will be lovers of themselves, fathers too, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, the list goes on, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their own parents, meaning they won't pass on what their parents taught them, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brooders, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, means they'll be in churches, but denying its power, and from such turn away. Where will the hearts of men be in the last days if they're not turned towards their kids? they'll be turned towards their pleasures. They'll be turned towards themselves. They'll be turned towards money. That's where they'll be. And as a result, perilous times will come. Listen to me. Understand this. Imagine this. There will be homes where fathers profess to know God, but they will not be teaching their children the Word of God, nor will they be testifying to their children of all the works of God. They will be too busy. But what they will be busy with is not something more important than the children. They will be busy with themselves and money and pleasures. And that's not all. I want you to notice something else in Malachi 4, verse 6. You notice, he says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Why did he say that? Why didn't he say to their children? Doesn't he know how to say their children? No, he knows. In the next verse, he says, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Why would he say he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children? Here's why. Listen closely. The fathers among God's people, according to God's own law, have a responsibility not only to teach their own children the Word of God and to testify to their own children about the works of God, but the fathers among God's people had a responsibility and have a responsibility to teach the children that God brings into their midst. In other words, the fatherless and the children of those fathers who are unfaithful to teach their own children. I'll put it another way so that it's crystal clear. If you are in a church that has children whose fathers are not teaching them the Word of God, the other fathers can't say, hey, I taught my kids the Word of God. I don't know where these children are going to get it, but I taught mine. They can't say that and get away scot-free. They are as guilty as the fathers who are shirking their responsibility to their kids. Why? Because God is a father to the fatherless. So what is this saying? It's saying that the fathers among God's people, if they are godly men, should have their hearts turned to the children. Not just their own, but to the children that God brings into their midst. Psalm 78 shows us a father who's standing up and committing to take responsibility for teaching children not his own. And he says this, we, speaking of himself and other fathers who stood with him, we will not hide these things, the words and works of God, from their children, children who are fatherless and whose fathers are faithless. We won't hide these things from their fathers. We will tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. Why? Because God established a testimony in Jacob and God appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children these things. And so Asaph says, and we will do it, though those fathers won't do it. We will do it so that the generation to come might know these things, and the children who will be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children. Asaph says, I'll take responsibility for the fatherless and for the children of the faithless fathers, and I and whoever stands with me will take responsibility to teach these children so that their kids might hope in God. Wow. There's a guy whose heart doesn't need to be turned back to the kids. It's there where it ought to be. But before the great and terrible day of the Lord, God's going to send a prophet, and he'll turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children or else. What's he saying? What do we learn from this? Truly godly fathers are concerned not only with teaching their own children the Word of God, but with teaching the children God brings into their midst the same thing. But in the last days, the hearts of fathers will be elsewhere. Not only will there be homes, listen to this, brothers, not only will there be homes where men profess to know God, but they don't teach their children the words and works of God. There will be churches where men profess to know God, but those fathers are not teaching the children in their midst the word and the works of God. There will be churches where children are neglected by the fathers in those churches who profess to know God. Here is one indicator, and I am not the judge, but I am the servant of the one who is. Here is one indicator. How many fathers are involved in teaching children in churches today? How many fathers are involved in things like Awana ministry? How many fathers are involved in things like VBS, kids clubs? Do you know that in the typical church, when the call is given to all the people in the church to come to a meeting about kids club, VBS, Awana, do you know that typically less than 10% of the fathers in the church respond? Less than 10%. Of course, in a good church that's healthy and where things are going well, you would have 100% of the fathers in that church saying, please let me be involved in teaching the children in this church. Do not let these children go without the Word of God. You'd have every father begging to be involved in children's ministry. That would be a good church, wouldn't it? That would be good. That would be righteous. And I will give you a word of encouragement. In this church, you have a very good start before I ever came. Because two of the three elders in this church, I'm the third one, before I ever came, you had one of them devoting much time, effort, and energy every year to a children's camp, and the other one devoting much time and effort and energy every year to Children's Awana. And to this day, for 4 years, they have given all of us an example. Their hearts are turned to children, no question. And yet both of them are very busy. And so any man in this church who doesn't follow that example is guilty. You know what would be the best thing that could happen today, this Father's Day? If every man in this place turned his heart back to the children. That would be the best Father's Day ever. If every father in this place, if you're guilty of not having your heart turned to the children, the best thing that could happen this morning would be you'd say, Lord, I confess to you, my heart has been turned to myself and to my money and to my pleasures. Forgive me. And I have good news for you if you do that this morning. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7. Start at verse 6. I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. That means I'm the Lord and I'm patient with you. And the only reason you haven't been destroyed up until now is because I don't change. In other words, God is patient. God is long-suffering. God is compassionate and gracious. He gives them, the only reason they haven't been destroyed is because God is who He is. And then he says, verse 7, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and haven't kept them. Here's the good news. Return to me, and I'll return to you. Isn't that good news? God says, look, turn your heart back to me and to my ways and to what I'm all about, and I'll come back to you, and I will bless you, and I'll pour out blessing on you and your life, says the Lord of hosts. And then he says, but you say, in what way shall we return? Don't ask this morning, in what way should you return to the Lord? Don't ask that. Say, I'll return to Him. I'll confess my sin to Him and repent. Men, I encourage you this morning, examine your heart. Today's a communion day. That's a communion command. Examine your heart before the Lord. Where is your heart with regard to your own children? Are you teaching your own children about God, teaching them His Word, testifying to them of His great works? And where is your heart with regard to the children in this church and children's ministry? Is it towards them? Are you involved? Do you desire to be? And if you're not, is it because you're involved in something that's more important? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your Word. I pray that your Spirit is doing his work in the hearts of men here this morning. And this week, as you have convicted me, Lord, I have confessed to you and I confess to you again, my heart needs to be turned even more to the next generation than it has been. Children are on my mind. And Father, I pray your forgiveness of myself and any brother with me now whose heart is turned towards you. Lord, turn our hearts to the next generation that we might teach them the word of God and testify to them of the great things that you have done. You are worthy. In Christ's name, amen.